Yeah, let me just address this. As a pastor, as one of the leaders here, I do want to, especially as a teaching pastor, I want to comment on the events this past week that took place down in the U.S. And I'm not going to comment on politics because I'm not a politician and I don't go there. Okay. But I do want to address a couple of areas, because I did watch the inauguration, and so let me say two things. First of all, I want you to hear me here, okay? It's not good enough for us to say the words. The Bible says to fit what it is what you want to deliver on, okay? And that was echoed in the inauguration. The Bible says. Because what can happen when we take bits and pieces from Scripture to use them to fit what it is we want to say? That's manipulating. And you can't do that. I was disheartened by that. Was not impressed. Secondly, I was, and this is my read. So you're getting an insight how I look at things and how I hear things and how I perceive. It doesn't make any sense to me to read the Beatitudes. To have them read, because it's saying that I align with Jesus. Okay? Now, my picture of Jesus comes from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And then at the end to hear, we're going to be great, we're going to be wealthy, we're going to be strong, we're going to be this. Those two don't fit. Don't fit. It was Jesus who said, if you want to be great in my kingdom, learn to be the servant of all. Now, I say all that because of the importance of knowing how to handle Scripture, how to read it, how to grasp the overarching picture. The center of Scripture, the core of Scripture is Christ. Jesus at the center. We are Christians, meaning we follow Jesus. He's our rabbi. He is. He's our king. And so we take our lead from him. Our songs today were about the king, the center of what we're about and where we're headed and where we're going. That's what it has to remain. Now, secondly, we are foreigners. If you're a follower of Jesus, you're a foreigner in this world. Meaning, your hope doesn't come from a leader, the next leader that's going to lead. That can't be where our hope is found. Secondly, you can't mix political parties or whatever, wherever you lean, and lock it into a Christian faith, the Christian beliefs. You can't do that. Being a conservative does not equate you to being a good Christian. Being a liberal does not equate you to being a good Christian or a Republican or a Democrat or whatever. It doesn't. We are followers of Christ. Jesus is our King. That's who we take our, that's the drumbeat we follow. That's the steps we follow. We march to that drumbeat, not to any political persuasion. And quite frankly, as I mentioned in one of my teachings, if Jesus was running in the primaries there, I don't think he would have even made it. I don't even think he would have made it, because when you look at the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, you get a, he isn't left or right. He is upside down, right? He flies upside down. And that's who we follow. That's who we follow. if I have a fear, this would, and it's not a fear, if I have a concern, here's the one concern I would have, is that the church, in the U.S. particularly, but in Canada as well, because we neighbor, we border onto the U.S., but the church in general, even in the world, waits now for some of the church not happy with, you know, everything went on. But that's regardless. That's neither here nor there. But we wait for the perfect leader to come along. And in the meantime, we just sit back and wait. And I go, no, we have a leader. We have a king. He's on the throne. He is ruling. And we, the church, we don't have to wait for the next election in 2018 for when we elect for prime minister. We don't have to wait till 4 years from now when the U.S. elects their next president. We don't have to wait. We can be the hope that we want. We can be that. We can all be that. We can be that. We don't have to be passive. We don't have to sit back and just be passive. We don't. We can influence, we can make a difference, and that is great. And so my prayer is that the church, rather than getting into protest or rather than getting on one, you know, engaging in the politics, would not do that. That the church would continue to sound the bell of Christ the King and Christ and his kingdom, that his kingdom is coming, and let people see that the King is here. And that we follow Scripture. And Scripture says we pray for our leaders. So we pray for our leaders, regardless who they are, regardless of what political stripe they are. We pray for them. And we pray that God will speak. And he does. He does speak to our leaders. So don't be disheartened. Don't. There's a king that's on the throne. His name is Jesus. We are his followers. We follow him. If you want to have a challenge for this year, just read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then read it again, then read it again, and repeat, and get that into you, because that is, you can throw Acts in there as well, and just immerse yourself in this God we follow. Immerse yourself with that. 94, I think there were two brothers, Terry Butler and Randy Butler. Do you remember those names? They wrote a beautiful song, perfect for today. And I've mentioned it before, they entitled it, "It Has Always Been You." Listen to the words. "It has always been you, you have always been. Kingdoms rise and fall, yours will never end. It has always been you before the world began. You chose us as your own, and before you now we stand. We honor you, esteem you, we place you at the center. In all of life, we defer to your rule and reign. It has always been you, it will always be you, and it's you here and now we adore." Beautiful words written. That's who we are, by the way. That's it. That's who we are. We adore the King. We love the King. We want his kingdom. We want his kingdom. So I hope you're pushing into that, leaning into the kingdom too during the week. When you have an opportunity to pray, you pray. When you have to look and see, is it coming? Is it coming? Is it here? Is it here? Is it going to come here? Because that's exciting. Now, our traveling missionary here, Deb Runstetler, just returned from Haiti. Deb, can you come up and just share, give us a story? Do you know about our Challenge 17? Do you know about that we're doing once? We want to do one story a week as people. Yeah. Okay, so that's what we're doing. So you're our story. So tell us a story from Haiti.
It's hard to just pick one. I can tell you about the healings and the man who had the lady who had a bone in her throat since January the 1st, and we prayed and it was gone. But we expect all that kind of stuff, right? But I think my story this time was, I've been to Haiti and I've been to a lot of tough places, right? But I think God really broke my heart this time, and the people I was with could hardly believe it because they're saying, "Well, you've seen this," but there was a gentleman. We were going around taking bags of food, like some rice and beans and stuff like that, and so we were visiting, and so a neighbor came and said, "Come see this man." And so we went in, and you can just picture what his house was like. It's just all some rusted tin and great big holes in it and everything. And so that we were prepared for. But we walked in, and the two of us went in, and we looked at this. There was just this bed. That's all this. He just had sort of a room, and he had this kind of makeshift bed. It looked like it had sort of kind of a straw mattress that looked reasonably good shape. And he had no place to cook. He just had empty shelves. But anyways, he said, "Come and see this man." So we went in and we looked, and all we could see were blankets. We're sitting there. And then all of a sudden, we saw this little white tuft of hair. And this man just broke my heart. This man has never been out of bed since the hurricane. There's a few people that come sporadically to care for him. We left some food, and we really didn't even know if anybody would look after, would even be able to cook it. So Reginald, in his heart, came with us because I went and I was crying. It just, I've never been so affected. I've been affected, but this was just, I don't know, I can't even describe it. This man was so out of it, he couldn't even talk and tell us his name. We do now know what his name is. His name is Elijah. And he is a Christian. And so when we went back, we got some more stories. And so what we did was whatever we had left from, we put roofs on houses from the hurricane. So whatever money we left with Reginald so that he could sort of make up the difference when these other people didn't come. But I think it was more the loneliness. I cannot imagine laying in a bed all by myself 24/7 every day and virtually like the odd time having somebody come. So like bringing the kingdom, we got to be the hands and feet of Jesus. We actually got to meet some of his needs in a very practical way, and that's what I believe that Jesus wants us to do. I believe that's what he wants us to do downstairs. And I think he wants us to bring his kingdom all over the world. And so anyways, yeah, that's my story.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And it's that simple. Leaning in. Leaning into the kingdom. It's the kingdom is that close. That close. It's that real. Bless you. It's good to have you back. Are you heading out this week now? No, are you resting? Oh, okay. Didn't know. Okay. Okay. If you want to turn into your, well, before you turn to your Bibles, we're gonna go real quick here. So, one of the unique doctor visits I had was back when we lived in Brighton. And I went and saw the doctor because my knee was hurting. And, of course, you expect from doctors that they're going to give some very intellectual, diagnosis and be able to bring a very complex healing to everything, right? At least that's what I expect anyway. I expect, high things from doctors. And so Dr. Wigginton, he was the doctor, great doctor. And so I told him that my knee hurts, and I especially, and when it hurts is when I sit cross-legged, and you'd sit cross-legged with your kids and stuff. And I said, it just really hurts. And he goes, and he felt it, does that anyway. And then he goes, so it hurts when, it just hurts when you do that? I said, yeah. And he looked at me seriously, and he said, don't do that. Of course, you have a lot of thoughts like, You get paid for this? That was it. You know, you're waiting for, that's the punchline, right? You're just teasing me. And no, that was it. Don't do that. Well, that's simple. What's that got to do with turning? I want you to turn to, well, if you have scripture with you and your phone or tablet or paper. There we go. Matthew 4:17. And it says that, and Matthew writes, from then on, Jesus began to preach, repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near. And that is, you see that in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. They emphasize that's what Jesus came, that's what he preached. That repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Now, as far as the word repent goes, I don't know how you hear that. Now, when you read that line there, when you read that, do you read that as Jesus the cop saying that? Or do you read that as Jesus the lover of your soul? That's the question. Right? That's the question. You know how that feels when you read that. How do you, what emotions rise up through that, you know? Because repent, you do it all the time. You know you do. Right? Well, when do I repent? Well, do you have a GPS or on your phone or a regular GPS, Magellan or whatever, you know? And you know, you set where you want to go, and away you go. And you know, if you miss the cutoff, what happens? Make some little quirky sound, recalibrating, right? And you go, oh, missed the cutoff, darn, shoot. And it tells you to, you know, turn around, go around, and you go back the other way. You've repented. Repent simply means turn the other way. Go the other way. You're going the wrong way. Go the other way. It's real simple. We make it so hard. We do. If we were, sometimes the way we approach repent in our Christian walk, you know, if we did the same thing with our GPS, what we would do is we'd hear, recalibrate, and we'd pull over to the side of the highway and go, oh, I suck at driving, I'm so terrible, oh. That's what we would do. And really all we have to do is turn and go the other way. And that's because it's so close, the kingdom is so close, so near at hand. All you got to do is turn the other way and face the kingdom, and away you go. Now, those words, if you want to know if it's Jesus the cop or Jesus lover of your soul, read that through these words from Jesus. And this is what Jesus said to Nicodemus: for this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. Do you see the passion in Christ there, who wants to rescue people, right? He's the one going, wrong way, wrong way. Let me show you the way, right? He's the one to say, and recalibrate, right? For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. And God sent his Son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. And then you read this, you go back to Matthew 4, the message of Christ. Repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Near. Close at hand. Close, because it's there when we begin to turn, to Christ, when we begin to turn towards the kingdom and face the kingdom. It's there. It's right there. So close. So very, very close. And as I was thinking about this, the thought that came to mind was this right here. That the kingdom of God is simply a matter of returning to face Jesus. That's all it is. Because we so often, we're facing other directions. We are. And all we need to do is turn and face Christ. That's what he calls us to do. Just turn and face. When he says, when he extends the invitation, come, follow me, it requires a turning and face Christ. It's that simple. Did you realize it was that simple? That it's just turning? It's just a return and face. It's return. That's what Christ calls us to do. Has God ever felt far away from you? Has the kingdom ever felt far away? Have you ever prayed for someone, for healing for them, and it feels like you're just praying into a box, an empty box? Times when I felt like God has been not there, you know what I've discovered? It's he always has been there, first of all. So it is, where was he then? Well, where he was it's actually, where was I? You know where I was? I was fixated on something else. Well, what were you fixated on? I was fixated maybe on the things that were worrying me. Fixated on maybe some sickness I have. Or fixated on, you know, maybe it's financial problems. Or fixated on your worries. Or you get focused on something else and you're not facing Christ. And finally, you come to wit's end, and what do you do? What do you do? I'll give you the answer, because I know you do it too. Oh, God, I don't know what to do. Bingo. And do you see what you did? You turned. As soon as you went, you finally came to the end of it, and you went, oh, God. Because he's right there. The kingdom's right there. It's just a matter of returning. There's the kingdom right there. What about the story with the disciples in the boat with Jesus? Going over the lake or the sea. And a storm comes up. And where were the disciples? Where are they? It's a test. Where? Well, they were up in the bow of the boat. And look, what were they looking at? Waves so big. So big. When did they return? When did they repent? When did they? You're so afraid. There's too many tests here, isn't there? Okay, sorry. Right. They finally someone said, hey, what are you doing sleeping? They returned. They repented. They returned. They didn't know it. But as soon as their eyes went off the storm and on to Jesus, the kingdom was right there. It's right there. But we get so fixated, eh? We get so fixated. And this whole thing about turning, that when we return, when we turn back, that is, another word for that is, that's when rescue happens. Or another word for that is what you read in Scripture, what we as Christians use, the word salvation happens. It occurs when we turn to Christ and go, God, help me. And it's that return. When we make that decision to return and to follow Christ and to make Christ our Lord and to follow him. See, my fear when I was talking about the events this past week is that there will be believers who will put their focus on the president. Don't. Repent. Turn to Christ. That's our hope. That's where our hope lies. And so this whole thing about salvation. So real quick. Funny thing about people, we all have a world view. Do you know what a world view is? Thanks, Chris. That's really brilliant. Wow. Yes, it's your view of the world, but you understand how your view of the world is influenced, right? Depends where you grew up, who your parents were, right? Who you listen to, the culture that you live in that forms you and shapes you, all of that shapes your worldview and how you see the world. I can guarantee you that our view of the world is vastly different from Elijah's that Deb shared about that man. Vastly different. I bet you there is that when he reads scripture, he reads it differently than you or I would, because the circumstances, how he grew up. Now, our Western worldview is different from the Eastern part of the world. We view things differently. When it comes to salvation, because we view the human body, or the human person, the human being, in three parts. We talk about it, and we talk about it without even it questioning it. Body, mind, and spirit, right? Or body, soul, and spirit, right? That's what we talk about. And we divide up, as if you're three part. And that Jesus came to save your soul. Well, actually, he came to do more than that. When he came to save you as a person, he came also to save you, your body, to save your heart, your soul, the whole thing, everything. He did? Yes, absolutely. When he brings the kingdom, it's not just to save your soul. It's also to bring, that's why there's healings. It's a taste of the kingdom breaking in. And you see people get healed. It's a taste. It's a taste we get. It's a deposit. But it's definitely the real deal. The kingdom comes, and there's healing that is brought. Have you ever bought a car or sold a car? And usually, so if you have a car for sale and I want to come and buy it, so if Rosie here had he was selling his truck or his car and I wanted to buy it, and I go, how much are you asking for it, Rosie? And he says, I want $10,000. And we haggle a bit and we come to an agreement and I say, okay. I can't give you all the money right now, but I'm going to give you 10%. And he says, yep. And I says, I'll have the rest for you on next week. This is good. Yeah, that's okay. But he has the money, right? I've given him the deposit. So if someone else comes along and says, hey, that car that you're selling, is he right to say, oh, actually, it's sold? Yeah, it's sold. Why? How's it sold? I gave him a deposit, right? Right? I gave him a deposit. There you go. It's sold. And you ask the question, do you have all the money yet? No. Well, how do you know it's sold then? How do you know it's gone? How do you know they're going to take it? Because they gave me a deposit. Right. When Jesus brought the kingdom, and Paul talks about that in one of his letters, that the Holy Spirit is given as a deposit of what's to come. So we see in salvation, there's a deposit that is made there. Are you saved? Yes. Are you fully rescued? No. Well, that's not right. Yes, it is. Because you want to test that one? You can ask those who know you best, right? Because you can go to a church service, or you can have a quiet time where that is so rapturous that you just feel you and God have become one in spirit. Or you go to some conference and it's just powerful music, powerful speakers, and you feel like you're just walking on in the clouds. That heaven has come, right? And then you open the front door of your house and your kids are fighting and there's a mess all over the house. All of a sudden you snap. You do. That's why we have counselors, right? That's why they're full time. I'm saved, yes, but I'm being saved. And I will be saved fully at some time. We see it in our souls. We see it in our bodies. You get healed, but not fully healed. Even all the people that were healed in Scripture, have they died? Yes. Will they have new bodies? Will they be fully healed? Yes. Well, how do you know that? The resurrection. The resurrection of Christ. He came back in a body. Different body because it walked through walls. That's weird. But he came back. It's a fully, he demonstrates what that looks like. He demonstrates what it means to be fully a human being. Christ was the epitome, the picture of that. And so we press in. We press into the kingdom. That's why we pray for healing. But when we pray for healing, that's why you'll hear ministry team, well, people who are on the ministry team, when they pray, they may, you know, you may have a sore shoulder, sore knee, right? You know, and or whatever. You may be dealing with some disease. And from time to time, you'll hear people pray, and they'll just listen. They just want to listen. And then they'll say something like, how's your relationship with your brother? And they go, what? I came up here for this. What's that got to do with anything? Because it has everything to do with it. Because sometimes this is a result of what's going on in here in your heart. There's not a separation. There's not, well, no, this is the body. The body's not affected by the, you know, the body's affected by outside things, by your heart, by where your head space is at. Right? Right. We pray for the kingdom to come. And in the kingdom is rescue. In the kingdom is salvation, and salvation for the whole person. And we pray. There's salvation for the heart, salvation for the soul, salvation for the body. And that's why we pray. Jesus modeled it. The early church modeled it. It hasn't stopped. It hasn't stopped. We press in. And we press in, and we press in. So remember, I am saved, I am being saved, I will be saved. So when you do snap at your dog, tell your dog, sorry, I'm saved, being saved, and I will be saved someday. Sorry. Right? Right? You got to remember that. But we pray at every opportunity. Let me tell you something. Christ longs to touch you. Christ wept over Jerusalem because he said, I think it's Matthew that records it. Could be wrong on that one. But in the Gospels, that he stood overlooking Jerusalem and he wept. And he said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that stoned its prophets. How I long to gather you as a hen would gather her chicks, and you wouldn't let me. What he was saying is, you wouldn't turn. You wouldn't turn. You wouldn't turn. There's a beautiful passage in Matthew chapter 13. And there, Jesus is telling the parable of the farmer scattering the seed. And you know, when he scatters the seed, some falls on rocky ground, some on hard, some on, you know, with weeds and thorns and stuff. And in all those instances, something else distracts, takes the person off course, right? And they don't. And then there's some that grows on salt, good soil. And then Jesus quotes from Isaiah. He does a quote. And part of that quote is here, and it's found Matthew 13:15. And Jesus quotes, "For the hearts of these people are hardened, and their ears cannot hear, and they have closed their eyes, so their eyes cannot see, and their ears cannot hear, and their hearts cannot understand, and they cannot turn to me and let me heal them." Let me tell you, how close is the kingdom? I'll ask you a question. What direction are you facing right now? Right now, where are you facing? Is it some stress in your life? Something, is it a financial thing? Is there a physical battle you're fighting? Is it broken relationship? Is it an addiction? Is it, you fill in the blank. What direction are you facing? And Jesus says, return. So what he wants us to do is to return. Ministry time is an opportunity. And it's just the reason we do it is to model a couple of things. One of the things we do it for is it's everybody. Anybody can pray for someone else. Everybody is called to lean into the kingdom and expect. So we want to model that. It's not superstars that can do this. Jesus poured out his spirit on the whole church. And we can pray. You can pray for your neighbor and expect the kingdom. Because when you do that, you take your neighbor and you go, can we pray? What we're doing is inviting that neighbor, that person. Both of us together will face Jesus, okay? We're going to face Jesus. The kingdom, Jesus says the kingdom is near. Right now. That easy. That's simple. Not necessarily easy. Let's pray. The kingdom is near. The kingdom is near.